Well, we are grateful the Lord has blessed us again that we can enter into the house of prayer. And I just lost my note. Okay, here it is. Okay, I was supposed to announce something. We're going to have a meeting right after our morning worship. We know that we've got a great weekend coming up, Crossroad Homecoming Weekend. And we're looking forward to that. But we also know that it's critical that we have people in place. It takes everybody. To get the job done. And so what we're going to ask is that we can meet for just a few minutes after service to kind of go over our game plan of what we're going to have for Saturday. As Sean, to kind of pick up where Sean was talking about, we're going to have youth activities as well as activities for adults. We're going to have Bible trivia and a bunch of other good stuff. How many of y'all good at cornhole? Okay, got a couple of people. Okay. So I don't have any competition then. All right, I'm good. But we're going to have that on next Saturday. So the activities will begin at 4:30 and will conclude around 7 p.m. And just a lot of good things happening, food and beverages for everyone. So invite your friends, come out praying the Lord give us good weather. Amen. We're going to have a great time. And then on Sunday, we'll be gathered here in our sanctuary at 10 a.m. for our worship services. To conclude our homecoming services, going to have a great time as the 100 Voice Men's Choir will join together and give song unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, if 100 men can gather for other stuff, we ought to be able to get 100 men to sing praises to God, right? Amen. And we want our youth, Sean, we want some of the guys from the youth to join us because we're going to give God praise and glory. So just everybody. Now we're asking the men to please get here around 9:30 or before. We will have the practice for the men's choir will be on Thursday, this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. And then we're going to have another practice on Saturday at right after our men's fellowship, which will be around 10 o'clock. So come out, be a part of that. And I know we're going to have a great time. Amen. Godell, looking for you, man. All right. So I know that some of you say, well, I can't sing. Red Smith already told me I can't sing. I said, Red, so what you need to do, get away from the microphone and just sing solo. Yeah, that'll work. But a great time. A great time in the Lord. We're thankful for everyone participating together and just joining us in worship because it is an opportunity that we have to worship and praise God. Amen? Amen. Also, we have, for those that are online, you can join us online on Sunday where we'll be celebrating these activities. And as always, we invite you to invite your friends. It's unlimited. We can only get so many people in here. But online, we can reach out to the entire world. And I was told by someone from the Chesapeake area that they listen to us every Sunday. So we're grateful for that. Thank you for listening, and thank you all for joining in. We invite you to participate also in giving. We have an online giving platform and came up with a new ministry for what we do online, our digital ministry. How does that sound? Digital ministry. But it is important for us, and we've been called, like every other church, to reach out to reach the world. And that's what we're doing. Amen. We cannot do it without everyone doing their part. So your tithes and offerings, they're a tremendous part of that. Because without it, we could not offer these platforms, nor could we keep the air conditioning running in here and lights on, all that, you know. And so that takes everyone joining in and giving. And plus, when you give, you're actually participating with God. You're giving because the Lord has blessed you, and what a wonderful way to express that love. Amen? Amen. So, yes, ma'am. Baptism Saturday morning. Oh, yes, I didn't tell you all that. We had a person that accepted Christ, and online, through our online platform, God was dealing with them. They accepted Christ, and so next Saturday, at 3 p.m., Miss Vogue Ward is going to be baptized, and she's excited. So thank God that the Lord is reaching people all over. And so the only thing we have to do is keep praying, keep seeking God, and watch him do his work. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, John with us now as we get into the Word. Let's give our young people another hand. They did a great job this morning. Acts chapter 27, verse 39 through 44 is where we'll find our scripture text for today. And to give you a little bit of context as you draw up that scripture, Paul has already said to those that were on board that they were going to lose the ship, and they're in a storm as they travel across the Mediterranean on their way to Rome. Verse 39 picks up, when the morning dawned, they didn't recognize the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get to the shore by running the ship aground. So they cut off the anchors and left them in the sea. Then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, and headed toward shore. But they hit a shoal and ran the ship aground too soon. The bow of the ship stuck fast while the stern was repeatedly smashed by the force of the waves and began to break apart. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape. But the commander wanted to spare Paul, so they didn't let them carry out their plan. Then they ordered all who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land. Verse 44, the others held on to planks and debris from the broken ship, so everyone escaped safely to shore. Look at somebody and say, thank God for broken things. Look at somebody else, tell them, thank God for broken things. Amen. You may be seated. Some of y'all hadn't even spoken since you got in church. But I want to talk about the blessing that comes from broken things. The blessing that comes from broken things. And what I want you to do, I wanted everyone to participate in this. I want you to think about some of the things that have been broken in your life. It can be a simple thing. Well, my air condition broke down, or something in my house stopped working. It could be something even more serious, such as a home or situation with your family. Now you're having to struggle through that. So we're going to talk about these broken things. And the question that should be on the forefront of everybody's mind, how can God take what is broken and use it for His glory? How can God take what is falling apart and then use it so that now you got something to hold on to? I'm here to tell you that God is not out of miracles. He can still work miracles in every one of our lives, but we've got to pay attention. We've got to make sure that we're tuned in to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, even when we think that our little world is falling apart. You got to make sure that you're keeping your focus on God and not on the circumstances. As I bring you into this text, Paul had already warned the commander of the ship and also the centurion that was over the prisoners, don't take this journey. Don't go that way because we're going to lose the ship. It's a bad time of the year to even be trying such a thing as this. Do not set sail. But they set sail anyway. Sometimes we are warned not to do certain things, you know, especially when parents tell kids, don't do that. I'm looking at some of the young folks now. And what do? We want adventure. So we will go out and we will start saying to ourselves, you know what, I think I can beat the odds. I think I can do this and get away with it. And you try it and ultimately you fall. And guess what happens when sometimes you fall? You break. You break. Now, how do you recover from that brokenness. I want to just share with you some principles that God's going to teach us today on how you can deal with that state of brokenness. So let's talk about it. What's broke in your life? What's broken? What's broken there? I know somebody said my car, okay? Somebody said my bank account. Yeah, yeah. Got a lot of broke stuff. Somebody said I was on the way to church and my heel broke on my shoe. But what if it's something more personal? You know, when you lose something in your life, when something is broken off of you, you suffer the pain of that. You have to go through the struggle of what we call a broken heart. I mean, anybody have had that? You didn't invite it, but it happened, and now you are left with those broken pieces. As I get this from the text, the commander that was on board that ship didn't want to kill the prisoners for the sake of Paul. Isn't that good to hang out with good folk? Sometimes God will bless if you around people that are serious about serving him. Amen. Even though you messed up, you around good folk, and they can pray for you and pray with you. But for the sake of Paul, the commander said, we're not going to kill the prisoners, which we've been given orders to do that, lest any of them should escape to land. But then he noticed something. He said, I noticed that everybody cannot swim. So what they did, they looked at that ship that was breaking apart. And he said to themselves, we can make it on these broken pieces. A lot of us, when we look at life breaking down around us or being destroyed around us, what we will do is say, it's no more good. Let me just head for the trash can, go ahead and do away with it, when really, you ought to start seeing a new value in that. You ought to start asking yourself, is this still capable of doing something? Can God still use it? Instead of saying, it's a loss, write it off, do away with it, and just go on to something else. All of us have made that tragic mistake, right? All of us have been at a place where we said, you know what? I'm done with this. But is God done with it? That's the question you got to ask yourself. Is God finished with it? I know you're done. I'm just fed up. I've had it. But is God finished with it? And the question that you need to ask, can God take what is broken and put it back together? So we look at brokenness. We look at what's busted and we say to ourselves, I'm so glad they created this stuff called super glue. You know, if you got time and you got a container of super glue, man, you can fix some stuff. Stuff around my house, my wife doesn't even know it's broke. And I ain't telling them. Richard, I'm not telling them. She can guess. When is this broke? So my question to you today, what's broken? And by the way, it's not impossible for young people to have broke stuff. Your expectations of what you thought would happen, or maybe something that really let you down, especially in this society in which we're living in. Our kids, we grew up in a world that you had to kind of look around for stuff. Our kids are growing up in a digital world. And they're growing up in a world where you don't even know the people behind the notes that are coming out. All you know is that it's focused on you. And if you don't fit a certain mold, what they'll do is they'll try to break you. Cyberbullying happens all the time. And a lot of young people are being broken. So what do you do? Well, you look at what's left. You got to understand a certain principle that God has said in his word that cannot be altered. Remember when God made the world, it wasn't everything nice and in order and this over there. The world was chaotic. Darkness everywhere. And what God did, he spoke in the darkness and said, let there be light. And things began to come together. And what I'm telling you now, the promise I'm making you now is that God is still the same today as he was when he created everything. And you got to believe this when you start traveling through life. You got to believe that all things, not some things, not what you think, all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. God can put it back together. I'll give you an illustration of how God can take wreckage and put it back together. Children of Israel had sinned against God. They had bowed down to idols when he had warned them, don't do that. And they had bowed down to these idols, and now as a nation, they were being destroyed. Jeremiah, the prophet during that time, had to watch as the invading armies surrounded Jerusalem and surrounded Judah and began to take one city after the other. They were a broken nation. And God did something. He told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. Go down to the potter's house, Jeremiah. I want to show you something. So he went down to the potter's house, and he watched as the potter was dealing with a piece of clay on the wheel. And he was going to make it into a certain kind of vessel. But the clay began to crumble and fall apart in his hands. Now, what you and I would probably do, we'd say, you know what? Let me just trash this and go get another piece of clay. But that potter took that same clay that was now part of it here, part of it was marred and torn apart. He put it back on the wheel and he made it a different vessel, according to his own choosing. Some of you all have trashed your own self. You've said to yourself, I'm never going to be any good. I'm not like this person. I didn't have all of the breaks that somebody else had. I just got broken. Some of you have discounted yourself and said, God can't use me anymore. You better check your pulse. If you still got a heartbeat, if you put your hand in front of your face and you feel the wind coming in and out of your lungs, you still got a chance. And not only do you still have a chance, you got this wonderful thing called grace. Amen. Jeremiah watched as that potter formed a new vessel. He didn't try to make it into what it was formerly planned for. He just made it into what it could be. Now, I want to ask you a question. What could you be if God put his hands on your life? Amen. What could happen to you? I know you're saying you're broke right now. And we'll get to that in just a minute. We'll get to that in just a minute. I know you're saying that there's not a chance, but you don't know God. Amen. You're looking at a person right here that's been broken. I remember one time I told God, I'm going to cry all the way to heaven. God said, no, you're not, because I'm going to give you joy. Amen. And you guess what? God was right. Amen. And guess what? He's right in your life. Amen. Yeah, I'm not discounting. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm not saying that people didn't turn their back on you. I'm not saying that in life you didn't fail. But what I'm telling you is God can take that brokenness and fix it. Yes. That potter took the vessel off of the wheel, and it was now something brand new. I don't know how long it's going to take God to rebuild you. Don't know how long it's going to take him to really remold you. But if you just give him a little time, he'll work it out. How many of y'all believe that? What do we got to do? One of the first things you got to stop doing is telling yourself everything's all right. You know how it is when you fall down and you don't want the crowd of folk to say, you know, man, you ought to just get back up. When you fall down, you hurt. You're supposed to jump up and say, I'm all right. I ain't all right. I bumped my head. I remember one time by accident, you know, this. You know how they got these automatic car doors? I didn't see the thing. And this wasn't one of those slowly dropping car doors. This was one of those ones that come close, you know. Thing hit me in the head, almost knocked me out, and I'm going like this. Y'all, am I? You're not all right. Being all right means that everything is together. But the Bible says if God's going to work on you, you've got to admit what's really going on in your life. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Oh, it was just a little lie. Ain't no such thing as a little lie. It doesn't work that way. In the economy of God, when you don't tell the truth, you're telling a lie. So what you've got to do is recognize, I've got to confess to God. If I want God to do something in my life, I've got to admit to Him. And that's the hardest thing for people to do. I saw this little commercial on TV. This little kid had crumbs coming all down his mouth. And the parents said, did you eat that cookie? It's the same way with us. Did you do wrong? Oh, no, not me. But look at what God does. He doesn't stand there to crush you more. He said, now, if you confess, I'm faithful. I'll forgive your sin and I'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So what I got to do? I've got to confess that I'm broken. I've got to confess to God, Lord, what you made me to be and what you wanted me to be, I didn't meet that standard. By the way, definition of sin, not just an act that you commit, but it's also an act where you come short of the glory of God. Miss the mark. You aim for the target, but you miss the mark. You know, you tell your boss at work, I'm going to be there at a certain time, and you show up 10 minutes later. Yeah, you showed up, but you were still late. You got to confess. You got to admit, I've come short of God's glory. And what happens with a lot of people, rather than admit, we play this thing called spiritual ostrich. We just want to bury our head in the sand and pretend it didn't happen. You're still broken. You didn't fix anything. I bring you back to the scene of those that were on the sea. They're traveling, trying to reach Rome. But they didn't reach Rome because the boat started breaking apart. Worst thing about being in a rocky boat is when you're in a boat that's now fragmenting around you. What do? You're in a life now that you thought, I'm headed for success. And by the way, God never said that success is your goal in life. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So if your goal is just success, you're missing something. Now, can God make you successful? Of course He can. And guess what? He wants to make you successful. But you got to do it His way. You can't come up with your own plans of God. I'm going to do this and this, and tomorrow I'm going to do this. I'm going to make me lots of money. Doesn't work that way. You can make the money and be dead in the next 10 seconds. You got to confess. So what do we do? What would you do if you're out on the sea and all of a sudden you can't swim? Middle of the sea. Now you got to make up your mind. How am I going to live? Broken pieces. And what I'm telling you is that the stuff that you thought was just rubbish, God can use it for His glory. If you would, take out a piece of paper and write down Don't let everybody see. Pretend you're in the classroom now. You're not going to let anybody look at your paper. Just take out a piece of paper and write down at least one thing that's broken in your life that you want God to fix. And if you all got a good memory, you don't have to write it down. You can say, okay, Pastor, I got it. I got it. This is what I need God to fix. If there was anything in my life, and don't tell me, don't stand here, don't sit there, rather, and lie to me and say, I ain't got nothing I need the Lord to fix. That means you're perfect. How many of y'all admit I'm not perfect? Now, by show of hands, you just incriminated yourself. By show of hands, how many of y'all got at least one thing you need the Lord to work on? Amen. Okay, good. We're in the right room. So now, what we've got to decide is whether we stay with the sinking boat or we grab a piece of the boat and try to head for land. How do you do that? Let me give you four principles, four things that you can really do in order to accomplish that. Now, God can do everything, but you got to make a decision as to whether or not this boat is falling apart. Can it be restored? Can it be restored? Is God in the restoration business? Which means make it what it used to be. Can God do that? Yes, He can. Because a lot of stuff that you say to yourself is broken, it ain't broken, just out of batteries. Let me say it again. It ain't broke, just out of batteries. Could it be you ran out of energy? You just got tired, and sometimes you get sick and tired. And you say to yourself, I'm not going to do this anymore. You just out of energy. You just need to be renewed or restored. Guess what God does? Psalm 23, He restores my soul. Everybody on that boat that was with Paul had lost hope. They had said, you know what, we're going to die. And Paul said, we ain't going to die, because God said we're going to lose the boat, but not our soul. We're going to live. You need to start talking to yourself rather than allowing your problem to talk to you. And let me tell you when the problem talks to you. 2:00 in the morning, you wake up, all of a sudden your problem stand at your bed. Say, guess what? I'm back. But I'm so glad God restores our soul. How many of y'all believe that today? So now, what you wrote on that paper or what you've got in your mind, is God capable of restoring it? And now if you say, well, He's not capable, guess what God can do? He can reuse it. My wife, we had a Chevrolet Cavalier. She's looking at me. She turned her head like, I don't know what you're talking about. We had a Chevrolet Cavalier, and we drove that car almost till the wheels fell off. Every time she would tell me, Mel, it's no good, I would go out and kick the tires. And I'd get in and I'd crank it up one more time and say, you're still running. But I got in it one morning, Miss Cavalier, and guess what? It didn't start. Had to get rid of it. Reuse it. Yeah, you're mad at people because they didn't do what you expected, but don't throw them away. Because just like you, they're sinners. We're all sinners. You know, wives get mad at husbands. My wife got mad at me the other day. Ain't nothing new. Why don't you wear your hand aid? Because I know what you're going to say. But after 51 years, Al, she ain't thrown me away yet. I'm still in good standing. Amen. But my point is that a lot of us, when we get fed up with life, and what we do, we've got this Walmart attitude. All right, if it messes up, I'll go down to Walmart and get me another one. You can't get a new relationship from Walmart. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You got to go to God and say, Lord, are you finished with this? Now, if you're finished with it, I'm finished with it. But if you're not finished with it, then I'm going to hang on. I'm going to still believe and trust in you that you can make it work. I'm going to stop leaning to my own understanding. I'm going to trust in God and know that you'll do it. He might give you the ability to reuse it. That's what he did with Israel. Brought them back to the same land. He told them in the beginning, behave yourself. Now, remember, parents used to tell you that, behave yourself. In church, you know, we want to have fun. We want to throw paper in church. And all they got to do is look around at you. Like, you going to get it when you get out of here. And they got it written all on their eyeballs. When they look at you, you're going to get it. So we've got to make sure that we don't give into the throwaway attitude of our country. The landfills are not only filled with, you know, these things that we consider them no longer working, but you got spiritual landfills where wreckage of people's lives have just been dumped there. Now they got to muddle through life and try to figure out, okay, how do I get it back together? Nobody wants me. God still wants to use you. Amen. Now, it may be somebody listening online. You feel like you're worthless. You're not worthless. God made you. Now, you may be in a worthless situation, but that's different than you being worthless yourself. Last thing is repurpose. Everybody say repurpose. Repurpose, repurpose means we're going to take something that used to be this, and we're going to turn it into something else. Back in 1962, well, it started in 1961 when they had what was known as the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba. All right? Fidel Castro was now coming to power. And so what the American forces and those that were allies, what they wanted to do was to stop that from happening because Fidel Castro was good friends with Russia. All right? Sound familiar? Look, this stuff is happening all over. Everybody said, Okay. So what happened was they had the Bay of Pigs invasion, and President Kennedy at the time, he approved of it, but it failed miserably. They didn't get the job done. Fidel Castro rose to power anyway. 1962, fast forward, now you have the Cuban Missile Crisis. This thing is getting serious. And so, long story short, because that's not my point, I know some. He wanted to give us a history. That's not my point. Now America has to do what we call an embargo. They have to surround that country to prevent Nikita Khrushchev from moving those weapons of destruction into Cuba. Did it work? Yes, it did. But meanwhile, that embargo lasted for a little while. So now the Cuban people are scratching their head. Man, we ain't got no parts for our cars. What are we going to do now? We've got 1962 cars and earlier. How are we going to find parts? And so they begin to reuse parts. They take parts off of Plymouth and put it on a Chevrolet. Or they would take an engine out of one thing, out of a truck, and put it into a car. And they say, we're rolling. We're rolling. What do you do when the pressure's on? You don't look at what won't work. You say, let me see if I can fix this. My wife hates it when I do that. Because I'll look at it and I'll say to myself, is there another use? What they did with those boards that used to make up a ship, they had to recognize it's no longer a ship. It's a broken board. But this broken board just might save my life. What am I telling you? God will never leave you without something that you can't hold on to. I'm getting ready to preach now. I'm getting ready to preach now, Brother Hurt. Sister Hurt, I'm getting ready to preach now. Because sometimes you think, well, I don't have what I used to have. No, you don't have what you used to have, but you got something that you can hold on to. Touch somebody and say, you got something. God never leaves you without something to hold on to. Grab hold of it. Here are the four things. I'm going to run on my seat, and I'm going on my seat. Four principles. Four things that I think is going to radically turn your life around. so that you can stop thinking, I'm a loser, life is a waste, and no, you wouldn't be here if God didn't ordain for you to be here. Tell the devil, this is my space. You're not going to occupy my mind, you're not going to occupy my thoughts, because my thoughts are on God and what he can do. You got to start valuing the broken things in your life. I close with this. One is assess it. Look at it. Look at it. After all, it's been with you. It's a part of you. If it's still broken, it's still with you. Assess it. Know what it is and know what God would have you to do. And so when the priority for assessment, that you got to make sure that you've confessed to God, Lord, this is what you gave me. This is what you gave me. This is my life. You know, by the way, some of you don't like, I don't like the way I look, so I'm going to go get a facelift. You ain't fooling nobody. You ain't no younger. Let me get off that subject. Okay, I'm off that horse. But assess what is broken. And start talking to God about it. If you want to do a true assessment, Lord, what did you mean? How did you want me to use this? And I haven't been able to do that, but Lord, where do I go from now? Part of the assessment is not just looking back, it's looking forward. You start to saying now to yourself, okay, what can I now do that's different? Especially if you broke it. I said, especially if you broke it. And somebody else broke it, you can't help that. But if you're the blame, if you're the person that says, I broke this, then God says, okay, because you're honest, because you're real, I'm now going to show you how I can take that broken thing and work it out for my glory. Remember, Romans 8:28 doesn't change with circumstances. It says, and we know that all things work together for good, even the broke stuff. Y'all got it? Second thing you're going to do is you're going to pray over it. Now, why should I pray over it? I'm going to pray over it because I'm going to commit it to God, and I'm going to ask him for directions. What else do you know about God? He is the creator. He can still make a way out of no way. God can still provide for your need according to his riches in glory. So why am I praying over it? I need the power of God into this thing so that I can now use it for his glory. Y'all got that? What did that captain do? He wasn't even saved. If he was, the scripture doesn't bear it out, but I believe he was influenced by Paul. And by the way, hang around Paul a little while, you're going to get saved. Or either you're going to find another assignment. But in a technical sense, they had been saved. They were delivered from the sea. But he prayed over it. Now all of a sudden, this captain is seeing things differently. The boat is no longer useful for sailing, but we can float on it. Maybe you got to give up some friends. Right? Maybe you got to start deciding to yourself, do I want to keep this friend and continue to have them to break me down, make me feel worthless? Or do I want to try to go somewhere else? Pray over it. Third thing, determine the value. Determine how you're going to take the value of that, because what you throw away, somebody else might pick up. You heard the old saying, you know, one person's junk is another person's treasure. You don't want to be Fred Sanford either. Dun, 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 dun. You don't want to be Fred Sanford, but you do want to recognize if God has placed something of value, you better make sure that you take care of it. Just because the diamond fell out of the ring doesn't mean it's not a diamond. Anybody get my drift? You don't throw it away, especially if it means something. Just go back and get you another ring to put with the diamond. Got to make sure that your life is now worth something to God. To begin that process, stop letting the devil tell you that it's no good. He loves to trash stuff. Your first mistake, first time you fall down, first time that you mess up in life, the devil say, I told you they were no good, God. And he'll feed your mind with that stuff. But how many of you know that God is a mind regulator? The potter wants to put your life back together again. So when we think about our value, allow God's word to pronounce over you the truth of who you are and the truth of God's plan for your life. Then the final thing is, let God use it. You tried your time, now let God use it. A lot of us will make these deals with God. I made a deal with God. Young people, I'm going to tell you something. I made a deal with God that if he waited till I got 35, I thought 35 was old. Y'all probably thinking 35 is real old. But let me tell you something. Keep living. Next thing you know, you will not only be 35, you will be my age. Okay? But here's the point. Honor the Lord while you're young, while you still have your youth. Because you're going to need him anyway as you go through life. Never say to yourself, at a given moment, God, then I will let you. God wants to see young people who will stand up and say, God, I'm going to live for you. In a little bit, we're going to be praying with our young people because the only way you're going to survive in this society is that God has to keep you. He has to preserve you. So you need to vow in your heart, in your life, that I'm going to live for God, even though I'm a young person. I'm not going to give in to the things of this world. Why? Because every day, there are people being destroyed by drugs, by sex, by these attitudes that they can take a risk with the world and think that nothing's going to happen. Guess what? It can happen. Value who you are and what God intends for you to be. And then you can say, to God be the glory. So in closing, last thing I want to talk about, we talked about all the other R's, reuse and repurpose, and we talked about that, but I want to talk about redemption. Only Jesus Christ can redeem. When nobody else wants you, when everybody else says you're no good, I know a Savior who salvages souls. Notice I use the word salvage. That's that junkyard term. Salvage. When we look at our lives, we don't really have a whole lot to offer God. And if you do have anything to offer God, he had to first give it to you. And when we mess up, when we have broken ourselves to the point where it's beyond repair. How many of y'all ever heard somebody say that? In a car accident, and they say, the car is total loss. You walk away from it, but the car is total loss. That means it has no other value to it. They even have to put it on the future deed, total loss. And some of you all are saying that to yourself right now. I'm a total loss. Would you go to the Redeemer? Would you go to the one that says, I can turn your life around? I can make you brand new. Jesus wants to pick up the pieces. He wants us to realize that through him, we have total and complete redemption. I go back to John 1:9. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's some other verses that I love to quote on that, where when we look at God's ability and what God can do in redeeming our life and bringing us back from that total loss, God is able to come into our life and to tell us that everything, absolutely everything, is going to be all right. Psalm 51, a broken and a contrite heart you will not despise. And then the psalmist prays, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. That's redemption. At Crossroad, here at this church, we preach redemption. We teach redemption. Why? Because all of us have to be redeemed. If we're not redeemed by Christ, there's nothing else that God can do. But he does redeem. He does save. And somebody said, he saves to the uttermost. So if you want to grab hold of what you got, bring it to Christ, and allow him to live through you, God will heal you. Simple prayer I want all of us to pray today. Prayer for healing. Say it with me. Dear God, help me to use my brokenness to bless someone else through Jesus Christ. Amen. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, thank you again for your grace and love. Thank you for your forgiveness through which we can be saved. And not only saved, God, but we can be used for your glory. I'm thankful that you blessed us to be alive on this Sunday morning at the Crossroads Baptist Church, August 11th, a day that we've never seen before, and a day in which you're going to do a great work. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for blessing in our lives and putting us back together according to your glory. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to extend the invitation. If there be one today, we're going to ask we all stand. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and now you're saying to yourself, I believe, we want to offer the invitation. Our young people are coming up. Amen. Hey, Miss Avery. How you doing?
Good.
You coming up to join the church? You are. I'm so proud of you. Okay. So Avery has come up today. She wants to follow Christ, and she wants to join the church. Is that correct? Yeah. Amen. What's your name again, sir?
Landon.
Landon?
Yeah.
Brandon?
Landon.
Landon. And Landon with an L. He did that. So, Landon, you come up for prayer today, or you want to join the church? Or you do? Amen. So I'm going to ask you all an important question. Do you believe that Christ is your Savior? He died for your sin, rose again. And you believe that by confessing him, you have eternal life. The Bible says if you believe that in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. You believe that? Amen. So Landon and Avery and Mr. Harris, you came up today too. So you, have you ever been baptized? You never been, you, Mr. Harris is a singer, you know. So you wanted to join the church too? You did. Okay, now you heard the question I gave them, right? Believing in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confessing your sin to him. Believing that he rose from the dead for you. Will you trust him? Amen. God bless you. We're going to pray for you all. I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus. I want you to say this little prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I realize
that I need you.
Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior.
Show me
how to live my life
for your glory.
I thank you for your precious blood
that forgave
all my sins.
Now,
I give you my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give them a hand. So, Landon with an L and Avery with an A. And Mr. Harris, now I got to, Grayson. Okay. You all want to be a part of the church. Amen. You want to?
Just for prayer. Hmm?
Oh, you just came up for prayer. Okay. Oh, you didn't come up just for prayer. Now, this is between you and Jesus. Okay. We'll talk. Amen. Have another one. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make sure.
Okay. How are you? And your name is?
Jelena.
Jelena? Hi, Jelena. How are you?
Jalita.
Jalia. Okay. I know my wife's saying he should have his hearing aid. Jalia, you believe that Christ is your Savior? Would you invite him into your heart? Would you say this prayer with me? Lord Jesus,
come into my heart
and save me.
Forgive me
of all my sin.
And help me
to live for you.
In your name I pray.
Amen. Now, you believe that? All right. Jalia, amen. So I'm going to have you to stand with these here. And we've heard the request. We're going to get their names in just a minute, but we've heard the request. And what is our pleasure?
For Pastor Alf, a motion that the three that come forth this morning who accepted Christ as their personal Savior, that we give him, to be baptized them, and we give them the right hand of fellowship.
Amen. Is there a second? Probably moving second that they receive these that have come up and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior and prepare them for the baptism. That'll be on this coming Saturday. We'll be baptizing. All right. All in favor, with the said motion, let me know by the usual sign.
Aye.
Any contraries? So moved and carried. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We're going to welcome them if we can give you fellowship. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. God bless you. Okay, I'm going to have you all to sit right here for just a second. Okay. David, get him the little tablets. Okay, you're going to sit right there. I want to get ready to have prayer over our young people. And while we do that in preparation, as Brother Joe will come for the prayer, we also know that this is our giving. We give to honor the Lord and to recognize his presence and his power in our life. So as we come together, we're going to have our prayer for the young people. I'd like also for those that are in the school system, teachers and all of those that are involved in our education of our children to stand. If you want to come up to the altar, please do so. If you're working in the school system, please come up as all of our young people. Or you can stand where you are. Let's give all of our students and our educators, let's give them a hand. Amen. All join hands as
I have a question for the young people. How many of you do have a telephone? Raise your hands. Raise your hand if you have a phone. He's trying to do it right now. Now, here is another question, because you're getting ready to go back to school, right? How many of you watch the Olympics? And then how many of you young people heard about Quincy Wilson? That young man yesterday made history in the United States. He was the youngest, 16 years old, and he's going back to school with a gold medal. To high school. So I'm saying this so that you understand that, you know, I mean, as the pastor proclaimed the word today, he says that, you know, let God use what you have. He can use a broken vessel. So as you begin school this year, think about what God can do in your life and to pray and to get connected with him. Let us pray. Father, this morning, we commit these young people into thy hands. We know, dear God, that they are going to be faced with challenges that will overwhelm them. We do pray today that you just cover them. We pray, dear God, that you will just keep them in your care, protect them, guide them. May they allow themselves to be used in a manner that they can be an example to the younger ones, and that they would learn and teach others what they have been learning at home. We pray for their parents. We ask, oh God, that they continue to uplift them in their prayer, in their prayers. And dear God, to encourage them to do the work that has been assigned to them. We pray, oh God, that you would just help them to focus their attention on you. Allow you, oh God, to help them do the things that only you can do through them. We know, Father, in this day and time that it is so easy to for our minds to just slip away. But we do pray that you have given us your spirit to help us. And we pray, dear God, that they would allow the Holy Spirit of God to direct them, to guide them, and to focus their attention on you. It does not matter, Father, what challenges that they may face at school. But we do know that we have a God who is able to do exceedingly abundant above what we ask. So we pray for them. We pray, dear God, that you just help them keep focus. Keep, dear Lord, their eyes on the prize, which is Jesus. And, dear Lord, help them in their work. May they focus upon the assignment that has been given to them. May they focus, dear God, upon the things that you can do in their lives. And may they put you first in everything that they're going to do. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, we do pray that you just continue to just help us as a church, especially these young ones who have come forward today. Help us that we may encourage them, that we may receive them with thanksgiving, and to help them grow, because we all become a part of this responsibility. Thank you for them and guide them, oh God, in their journey. We ask these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. And as we pray for the offering, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us to participate in giving back to you a portion of what you have blessed us with. We know that everything belongs to you, but Lord, we have been guided by the Spirit to just give as you have blessed us, and Father, to give it wholeheartedly. Bless the offering so that, oh God, it can be used for your kingdom, so that those, oh God, who are listening, and, you know, may be encouraged. And those, dear Lord, who are without Christ, may tune in and hear a word from you and receive Jesus Christ. Thank you for this privilege. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the church say amen.
I want to remind you that the youth will be having, Sean will be having the youth get backpacked downstairs so they can head down there. And we'll be meeting with the homecoming workers in the choir stand. So if you can remain in the church in the choir stand, and we will meet up there.